from Taipei Airport. Welcome to the GCN Show.
Welcome to the GCN Show. Coming up, Pogacar and Vanderpool are the hottest properties in men's cycling right now, but are they actually as good as we're all bigging them up to be? I'm not so sure, and I've got a valid reason why.
Oh, we've also got a new revolution in pedal design, so say the manufacturers at least, a book from a former GCN presenter, which thankfully is not an expose.
What are you worried about?
Nothing. And why the UCI are reversing a measure they put into pro cycling to improve safety just a few years ago. This week in the world of cycling, we learned that another nail in the coffin of track cycling was firmly hammered in by Warner Brothers Discovery as a result of the cancellation of an 8-year contract to put on the Blue Ribbon Track Champions League after just 4 years.
Ouch. Now, it leaves track racing without an international flagship series. The question is it because track racing is a bit boring and no one cares?
We'll leave that there for a moment, shall we? Or maybe for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Because we also learned this week what might lie ahead in the future of bikes. They could look like this.
No, the future of bikes is not balance bikes. Although technically the riders of said bikes are clearly the future of cycling. But no, this was actually a surprisingly important product release from Giant, having been set an engineering challenge from their president to create carbon bikes out of recycled materials.
So this one has less than 50% carbon emissions in the material than one made of virgin carbon. It's a very tentative first step, and as we all know, reduce and reuse come before recycle anyway.
Very true, Dan, very true. And now this week at the Coffee Machine, we have been talking about racing. Unsurprising perhaps, given that we are in peak season right now for the one-day classics in Belgium and Northern France. Both men's and women's races are shaping up to be absolutely mouth-watering. But in the men's, there's particular excitement because of the face-off between Tadej Pogacar and Mathieu van der Poel.
And it's that rivalry that we wanted to dive into today.
Yes.
Firstly, asking the question, are they as good as we say they are?
So this is my fault, isn't it?
It is your
this
fault,
one.
Yeah.
I've been wanting to talk about this for weeks, if I'm honest. So I was watching the racing over the last few weeks, and when I was doing so, I wondered whether or not the reason those two look so good is actually because the other riders were comparatively less strong, basically. Now, my understanding is that everyone is on a super high level, but are they?
I think it's such a difficult question to answer because things have come on so much with bikes, clothing, and nutrition, not to mention the differences in how races are raced. It's kind of pointless to compare times on climbs and speeds, etc. However, given how much knowledge is available to everyone now, given how this generation of cyclists are, in my opinion at least, more dedicated more of the time than any previous generation, I would say that Pogacar and Van der Poel being head and shoulders above others is more an indicator of their immense talent rather than those they're beating being a step below previous generations.
It's a big gap though, isn't it? A really big gap. Mm. And I don't think you can compare because with the same knowledge, I mean, what would the previous generation look like? Do you see what I mean? If they knew then what we know now, when we look back a few years, not many years, we get to really big names like Boonen and Cancellara, absolute giants of cycling at the time, who particularly, I think, Cancellara could do incredible things, even to the point where he got accused of riding an e-bike. He looked so blooming good. So are they better than that?
Another quite difficult question to answer,
Si,
for the same reasons that I stated before. Should we look at some stats?
Let's dive into some stats. Safety in numbers.
All four of the riders we're mentioning there with their rivalries, they've won seven monuments in their career.
Okay.
So given that both Pogacar and MVDP are still in their prime, you would imagine they will quickly surpass those other two.
Yeah.
So I would say that means they're better.
But I think a lot of that depends on who they're racing as well, doesn't it? Because, you know, in the history books, in 20 years' time, they'll all be judged equally because a monument is a monument. Mm. But here and now, what adds value to their victories is the rivalries, right? So, you know, Pogacar winning the Lombardia, it's a monument, but
doesn't mean as much.
It doesn't mean as much. So what I think I've worked out is that Pogacar and Van der Poel actually need each other in order to cement their legendary status, just as Boonen and Cancellara also needed each other to create their legacy in the sport. Mm. So you see, I started thinking about this because of a book I was reading about the Sebco Steve Ovett rivalry.
The running legends.
Running, yeah, I don't know why I was reading it. But for those that don't know about this, because you're not into running or you're not old enough, so Coe and Ovett were giants of athletics, weren't they, in the late 70s and the early 80s. They achieved incredible feats in middle distance running, but really their reputations were made on their rivalry. So one without the other would have faded into relative obscurity by now. But they are still rightly revered as absolute titans of the sport. And I feel like Pogacar and Van der Poel need this, okay? They need this, the sport needs this, because a champion without a rival is all the poorer for it.
And I guess maybe without that rival, that key rival, they wouldn't have won as much.
Yeah.
Sounds strange to say, doesn't it? But I guess having someone that good as a rival is fuel to getting better yourself, isn't it? There's no doubt, really, that Pogacar upped his game when he was beaten twice in succession by Vingegaard at the Tour de France. And it kind of feels like Van der Poel has upped his game over the years. First, he was determined to beat Van Aert, and now, the next two Sundays, Pogacar.
Yeah, and I'm sure that is true, but I also think it's more than that. Because again, right, if we go back to Boone and Cancellara again, I remember Killian Kelly, our statistician from a couple of years back. Killian?
We miss you.
Anyway, he said that in spite of their famous rivalry, they actually hardly ever raced each other, did they? But it was the thought of them racing against each other that was so intoxicating to fans. And it made them bigger. And even further back, Bernardino and Greg LeMond, I mean, that's a rivalry that's gone down in legend, but actually it only existed for a couple of years. Mm. But again, it's made them bigger.
I take your point, Si. I take your point. But let's go back to Boone and Cancellara, Pogacar and Van der Poel. One of the things that makes those rivalries so intriguing is that they're only rivals on sort of two or three weekends per year.
Yeah.
And so Cancellara obviously was a monster time trialist who was a beast in the classics. Tom Bonan was a monster sprinter who was a beast in the classics. Van der Poel is a monster classics rider who actually doesn't really give a monkeys about much else on the road, does he? Whilst Poggy is... Well, he's a monster, he's a beast in everything, I would say.
Yeah, he is, isn't he? And that latter one is the rivalry that we never expected, really, isn't it? Because, I mean, who could have imagined 5 years ago that a Grand Tour winner would once again win Flanders and once again race Paris-Roubaix?
Very true.
If Pogacar didn't exist, we would be thinking that Vingegaard or Roglic might race Flanders or Roubaix? Absolutely not. And just as well for their sakes as well, really. But, I mean, this is why these riders need each other, don't they, to cement the legend? Because I think without Pogacar there, you know, I'm not saying Van der Poel would have it easy on Sunday, but
you'd imagine it would be easier.
And Pogacar there adds value to Flanders.
Oh, it certainly
what I mean?
Does, yeah. Yeah, well, let's hope both of them do race it. Otherwise, yeah, it might not be much of a competition.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of whether there was an equivalent now or in previous years on the women's side, and it's quite difficult to find an example, I would say, because Vos obviously is like the Mercs of cycling. Everything that she won back in the day and continues to win now. Well, back in the day, she was so dominant, wasn't she? She still wins now at a slightly lower rate. I think the closest we really have is Vollering and Kopecky, which is remarkable to say, really, given that until quite recently, they were on the same team.
Yeah.
But there's still that rivalry.
That's it, yeah. A bit like Le Mans Dornino, actually, in some ways, isn't it?
Very true. Does have the ingredients, though, Vollering and Kopecky, of being a great rivalry, I would say, because, again, their strengths are quite different. Vollering is the climber, I guess the GC rider who can also win the classics, whilst Kopecky is more the sprinter type from a track background, etc., who is steadily and quite quickly, actually, improving in the mountains. So the more that time goes on with those two, the more races, I'd say, they'll both be looking to win, which, again, like you said, it's key to the rivalry.
It's true, but they also, for the rivalry to really come to the fore, it needs to be just the two of them, doesn't it? Like, that's the other important thing. So if we go back to our original question, because we have sidetracked slightly, apologies for that, but do you think Pogacar and Van der Poel are genuinely as good as we've been saying they are?
I do.
Do you?
I do, absolutely, yeah. For me, they are both such complete riders in the races in which they want to succeed and can succeed. They're both so consistent as well, that's a big point for me. Particularly these last couple of years, and I say, you're right, they've made each other better as well.
They have made each other better, haven't they? Without each other, we wouldn't think they were so good. I mean, they'd be super dominant, and we know they'd be super dominant, but this just, like I say, it just makes it...
Adds to the spice.
Yep, adds to the spice.
Got another stat for you, actually, before I get it.
Go on.
Actually, I'm going to ask you to guess.
Okay.
How many times do you think both Bonan and Cancellara finished on the podium of the same monument?
Don't know. Seven? Lucky seven?
Three times.
No
and
way.
Can you guess with Pogacar and Van der Poel, same monument, same podium?
Well, poor old Pogacar missed the Flanders podium, didn't he? Like,
2 years ago, yeah.
So one Flanders. What's it, three?
It's also three.
Two San Remo, so one Flanders.
Both of those rivalries are three times in the same race on the same podium as a monument.
Yeah. Could be four on Sunday then.
It might well be four after Sunday and five the week after that in Roubaix.
Yeah, see? What a rivalry. Now, we'd love to know what you think, actually. Would you rate, or where would you rate, rather, Pogacar and Van der Poel in the pantheon of cycling greats? Have we bigged them up too much or not enough? Let us know in the comment section down below.
I'll tell you what, though. This has really whetted my appetite even more for Sunday's clash, which seems like a good time to remind you all that you can watch a full season of bike racing live on Discovery Plus and Max.
Yeah. It's a shame we haven't got a rivalry in the women's race yet. Do you know what I mean? Because Vollering's not there.
No, Vollering's not racing, yeah, you're right. But we've got Voss in there still, but it does look like SD Works' race to lose.
Yeah, that's a shame. Vollering, if you're listening, maybe just pop along to Flanders on Sunday.
Yeah, put a last-minute entry in the post.
Yeah. I reckon that they wouldn't turn it down, I don't think, would they?
I doubt it.
Late entries.
And now it's time for Cycling Shorts.
Cycling Shorts now, I'm going to start with some news from a former colleague of ours, Emma Pooley.
Not only a former colleague of ours, but former world champion, Olympic medalist, and with far too much talent on and off the bike to be a GCN presenter for long. She got in touch with us anyway to tell us that she's releasing a recipe book.
Yeah, so it's called Oat to Joy, and it's something that she's actually cooking up.
Oh, crikey.
When she was here, mate. We were lucky enough to try what I suspect were prototype recipes, although I mean, they were the finished article about that anyway. And they're all, as the name suggests, based around oats.
They are indeed. In fact, we're going to quote Emma here.
Yes, we are.
I'm thrilled that my book, Oat to Joy, will finally be published in April this year. Oat to Joy is a recipe book for healthy, on-the-go, real food nutrition. Over 10 years of innovation and testing have gone into the recipes, and I believe they're the most delicious way to fuel adventures and empower athletic potential.
There you go. What sounds really cool, actually, about this is that it's not just a recipe book, it's also a memoir.
Nice.
Well, discussing some of the most interesting times in Emma's career, from beginner cyclist to Olympic podium, via the medium of food as well. So as she said, from cake via cheese sandwiches and chocolates to the greatest pizza in the world. So there we go. Look forward to reading that.
Yeah, available for pre-order now from different outlets, actually, depending on where you live. Alpkit, I think it was, in the UK.
Yeah.
Irish.cc in Europe and Vertical Coffee, which I thought was cool, in Switzerland.
That does sound quite nice. Right, as you said, looking forward to seeing that one. Now, we'll move on seamlessly from one former GCN presenter to another, Alexis Brunel, who was a presenter on our French channel and is now back in the pro peloton. Isn't he? He was looking super strong in Gent Wevelgem over the weekend, fresh from his win in a Belgian race a couple of weeks ago.
That could be me or you, or both of us, soon. Can we turn our hands back to it?
Well, with your e-bike, Dan, potentially.
I have to get it de-restricted, obviously.
You would, yeah.
The Cobble Classics continued last week in the build-up to Flanders and Roubaix, which peak over the next couple of weekends, of course. Mathieu van der Poel continued his godlike string of performances in E3.
But it wasn't very valuable or prestigious because there was no Pogacar.
No, and Van Aert wasn't on his game, was he?
Yeah.
Wasn't on his A game, anyway. Whilst Mats Pedersen won in quite a similar fashion, really, didn't he?
Yeah, in his absence. In van der Poel's absence.
In van der Poel's absence, yes, on Sunday against Wevelgem.
Yeah. And Lorena Wiebes as well.
Yeah, Lorena Wiebes. Well, she took her 100th career win, didn't she, Si, against Wevelgem on Sunday. Not too bad when you consider she's only just turned 26.
Whoa!
But, as I pointed out on the Racing News show yesterday, Marianne Vos had over 150 wins at the same age. And that's discounting the wins she had in cyclocross and the track by the same age.
Good Lord. Mm. That is quite a lot, isn't it? Crikey, that's remarkable. 150 wins by the age of 26.
Actually, I think it was just under. I embellished slightly.
All right, well, I'm glad you admitted it, Dan. You need to apologise for that now.
Sorry, it's 148, not just over 150.
There you go, all right. And away from racing, some sad news. I should say, coming from the States. According to Grist, which is a non-profit, green-oriented media company, the US government wants to cut funding for bike lanes and pedestrian safety projects.
In reality, if true, it'll effectively stop local efforts to improve cycling and walking infrastructure, which is incredibly sad.
Yeah.
Although it must be said, given what else is flying about in government memos at the moment, it's probably a drop in the ocean. But it is important to the quality of life of a lot of people.
Yes. So let's hope that one doesn't come to fruition, I think. But clearly, some people do still think that non-car-centric travel is at least a part of the future. So American car brand Rivian are the latest in a long line of car brands to be investing in micro-mobility. So that's e-bikes and e-scooters, to you and me. And they, too, have set up a new brand called Also.
No product shots at the moment, but it sounds like they've been working this for a couple of years now. So let's see if there's any innovation going on. I hope there is.
Well, I hope there is as well. I mean, I think to cut it, they will need some innovation.
Helps, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, exactly. Because if they ain't got the products, that's just one big marketing challenge, isn't it? But anyway, speaking of innovation, got to say, pedals, not really moved on for a while, but Ecoy have now finally officially launched their PW8 pedals, which could really shake things up, basically. So they're lighter, they have a bigger contact area, they have lower stack height, and they say with cleats you can walk in.
And they even did some consultancy and tests with our very own Ollie Bridgewood and Alex Payton to help work out the pedalling efficiency, didn't they, of the new pedals?
No, they didn't ask Ollie and Alex, unsurprisingly, to help with their pedalling efficiency test. But they have said it improves pedalling efficiency. No word on how they've tested it. As we know, it's a tricky one. The only downside with the new pedals, we should say, is that they require new shoes because the cleat fitting is unlike anything you've ever seen before. It's basically like four bolts, but separated by half the shoe and two little kind of nuggety cleats, basically. Mm. So anyway, it's going to be interesting to see what they're like, really. And we still don't officially know how they work, although Alex Payton thinks he knows.
Well, he spent a good 5 minutes watching a video in French, actually, to see how they work, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't sound like much research when you put it that way.
But, not really, no.
But yeah, he reckons there's the flex in the pedal body is what allows the cleat to attach, yeah.
Okay. Anyway, in more future tech news, helmet materials might also be up in their first shake-up in a while. A team of scientists from Sweden and Iran have created a new 3D-printed material with auxetic metastructures.
Oh, they sound good. I want auxetic metastructures, don't you? So in essence, they've said the 3D printing of this material allows it to have complex structures built into it. And so actually it can absorb any impact by contracting in all directions and therefore absorbing the energy within the material, as opposed to, and this surprised me, expanding on impact. I didn't think polystyrene did that, but anyway.
Doesn't seem to make much sense. One to watch then, for sure.
Yeah.
I was also struck by something in the Science blog article that was where they said, for the approximately 1 in 3 cyclists who report helmet discomfort as a barrier to consistent use. I've never heard anyone say that they have a very, very uncomfortable helmet. So it's like 1 in 3.
1 in 3. So yeah, we thought we could perhaps have a quick show of hands in the comments section. Do you find bike helmets uncomfortable? We were chatting to our colleague Matt, who said he has a big head, and he said that he used to find helmets uncomfortable until he found the right brand.
Really?
So yeah, maybe it is a thing. Maybe we're just lucky that we've got pinheads. But anyway, let us know. The last big tech release of last week was the, of course, long-awaited Von Riesel RCR-F. Now, Ollie made a great in-depth video about the new bike and what's gone into it, so make sure you check that out.
It's a cracking video, isn't it?
It is really
good,
yes.
One to save for the television, I would say.
Indeed,
yeah. Back to racing briefly now, actually, because the UCI announced yesterday they've agreed to the Grand Tour organisers' request to be allowed an extra wildcard team in their races this season.
Yeah, which means that each Grand Tour will have 23 teams instead of 22. So they're made up of the 18 world teams, who get an automatic invite, the two best ranked pro teams, the next level down, that's Lotto and Israel Premier Tech, and then now three extra teams of the organisers choosing.
Now the reason they've given this extra team to these Grand Tours is the emergence of several pro teams of the second division of cycling, such as Q36.5 and Tudor, both of whom have invested in big-name riders. So they've made the job of the organisers choosing those wildcard teams quite hard.
Yeah, now that's fair enough, you might say, but as Jonas Kreter pointed out on X, the UCI put out a press release in 2017 saying that in order to improve the safety of the riders, the spectators and the race convoy, the UCI Management Committee has decided to limit the peloton size to a maximum of 176 riders.
So, either the reduced team numbers and sizes didn't have a positive impact on safety, or the UCI simply caved into the requests of the well-funded race organisers.
Hmm. Well, I mean, in terms of crash stats, it hasn't made a difference, has it? The issue is what else has gone on since 2017 that might have made crashes worse.
Yes. Yeah, there's no solution yet, is it?
No.
Is there, should I say?
Not really. Right. Competition time, folks. Core have released a new version of their game-changing body temperature sensor. This one is called the Core 2, and we have one to give away.
Fantastic stuff. We'll put a link in the description below. If you follow that and click on it, it'll tell you everything you need to know about how to enter this giveaway. So we wish you the best of luck for it. We, of course, talked about the Core 2 on last week's show, didn't we? Hack /bodge of the week. Now, your chance on the show to get involved. All you've got to do is head to globalcyclingnetwork.com/uploader. Send us your videos and or photos of anything you've seen out and about or your own hacks and bodges. First up this week, Rock Jurkosek put 2 days before a race, I cleaned my bike and freshly waxed my chains. As I went for a test ride, my chain started slipping at sprints over 600 watts. It was Saturday, so there was no option to get a new crank, and I also tried multiple chains, none worked. As the crank set will have to be replaced anyway, my only option left was to modify it for the race. I took the Dremel, my goodness, sounds ominous, and got to work deepening the grooves. The aluminium was surprisingly easy to work with, and after 4 passes, the big chainring looked much better. 1 millimetre deeper grooves combined with a fresh chain are effectively the same as 0.5 millimetre elongated chain over 132 millimetres, so I was hopeful it was going to work. On the morning of the race, I took it for another test spin, and voila, worked flawlessly. No problems during the race, and I finished 5th in my category.
Oh my word, my mind is slightly blown.
I love that. That's one of the best hacks I think I've ever seen.
I just think, like, how much extra life could you get out of a chain ring by Dremeling it?
Well, surely it only works to a point.
Why not? You could just constantly keep machining.
Well, no, but the diameter of the chain will gradually get smaller. There's got to be some point where the chain sort of doesn't fit in the hole. I don't know.
Good point. Maybe you could just convert it from a 52 tooth to a 51 tooth.
Yeah, I've gone compact.
Yeah, why not? There's plenty of life left in that aluminium. Oh, that's amazing. Thanks for sending that one in, Rob. Rock. 100% hack from me.
Yeah, me too.
Sneaky Gav sent this one in. I often get a runny nose when riding. Inside or out, I found a solution is to keep a roll of bog paper nearby as a substitute for tissue. Mounting to my Speedplay pedal on my nearby stand, I can easily take the required amount to the perpendicular orientation, which allows for the paper to roll off in the correct manner every time. Oh my goodness me.
Bodge.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose it depends where you're doing your indoor training, but I mean, am I wrong here, but is a snot rocket not acceptable indoors?
No.
You don't think?
No.
Oh.
Not even in a garage.
I mean, I wouldn't do that either, but just checking.
Should we move on?
Yeah, okay.
I'm saying bodge.
Yeah, I'm saying bodge.
It doesn't really look very neat. I don't see any need for
just
it.
Just have a towel.
No, just put your tissue somewhere else. Have a box of tissues, like any normal person would have.
Well, also, if you're sweaty, you do need a towel. Do you know what I mean? It's like a hanky then, isn't it? Like a giant handkerchief.
Shadow Squid. I bought a bike to work on to help with the bicycle withdrawals while the collarbone is healing. Very excited. 2009-ish Ridley Helium that actually fits me. But being secondhand, it didn't come with any spaces for the integrated seat post. I have access to free 3D printed through uni, though, so figured this was a great opportunity to try it out. Spent an afternoon learning the very basics of CAD, traced a top-down photo of the seat post, and then adjusted the height to 1 millimetre increments. Seems to have turned out all right, and now I maybe have the 3D printer bug. So cool to be able to turn an idea into a physical object.
No way. Does that work? I mean, I can't remember the seat mast from the 2009.
I do remember it. So the seat post went over the seat tube, and so
I
think to raise and lower the seat, you needed these spaces.
Ah. Oh, that's cool then, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a hack.
That's a hack for me
3D
as well.
3D printing, hack.
Oh, there's the T-post in the background. Look.
Yeah. Well, that's amazing. Fair play, I like that.
I can't
give it enough thumbs up. Next up, we've got this from Petco from Bern in Switzerland. Hi, GCN team. Hello. This is a handmade wall mount bike stand I made
these.
From my old Bontrager bar and a vintage Henri Gautier 79 saddle. It's far from perfect.
I like you didn't say Henri Gautier 79.
I put so much effort
into the Henri Gautier bit and then said the 79 English.
I always struggled when we got above 60, counting in French. 60 to.
You'd have been better
80.
Learning Belgian French, wouldn't you?
Why? What did they say?
79. They have a word for 70 and 80 and 90.
Well, that's a fact for the day, isn't it?
99 is funny in French, isn't it? 4 20 is 10 9.
Yes, it is. That's incredible. Oh, to think we've spent all this time together down over the years and you just trotted that one out. Amazing. Anyway, back to Petco from Bern in Switzerland. It's far from perfect, but probably good enough for a pre-market edition. I think that's really cool, actually.
I like those. I do like those handlebar bike, not stands, are they wall mount, should I say?
Yeah. No, that's a hack from me. That's wicked.
Hack from me as well. So two utterly brilliant hacks, a decent hack to end with, and then a bog roll on a pedal.
A bodge roll, we should say. Yeah okay. Well, that's not a bad week, is it,
really? No. Right, don't forget to send them all in. Oh, I mentioned that earlier, didn't I?
You did?
Well, we can move on.
To this, caption competition time, where you get a chance to get your hands on a coveted GCN Camelback water bottle. All you've got to do is put a witty caption in the comments section down below that relates to a photo we'll give you in just 1 second. Results, as always, though, come first.
They do indeed. Last week's photo came from just after the finish of the men's Milan Sanremo. This is Filippo Ganna pulling off his mitt with his teeth. The winner this week is Bikes Kimork 670. I always double-check myself with all these usernames.
I think that might be Bike Ski.
Oh, yes. Oh, maybe. I've done it again. Bike Ski Mork. Okay, caption competition. Not quite al dente.
Yeah, I like that.
Short, snappy.
Yeah. I reckon if you'd put an Italian accent on, might have been a bit better.
Yes, I'm not very good at accents.
No, that's all right. You're better than Connor, at least.
Not quite al dente.
There you go. Right. I get that. Be well seasoned, though, which is what Italians like to do with their pasta. Yeah, how much salt are you supposed to put in?
No.
You're supposed to make your pasta boiling water the same salinity as the Mediterranean Sea.
Crikey.
Yeah. There's my good fact for the day.
No, I didn't know that.
No.
I don't salt very much at all these days.
No, I don't either, but okay. Italians do. Anyway, yeah, that's great. Get in touch, Bike Ski Mork, and we will get your GCN Camelback water bottle out to you. Sorry, I just scrolled down to see this week's caption photo.
Well, as a description for podcast listeners, this week's photo is of a Cervelo S5, is that?
I believe so.
Floating in a sort of stream/river. This is from the
very
women's...
Very disgusting looking.
Yeah, this is from the women's Gentwevelgem. Should say, by the way, that the owner of this bike is Njenke Venoven of Visma Lisa Bike, who broke a collarbone in this accident, so get well soon. But
yeah.
We did think it was an intriguing photo. I will get you started as ever. The brand new Cervelo. Lighter, stiffer, more compliant and more buoyant than the previous model.
I feel like this could be open season, talking about Cervelo test team and all sorts of things.
There's a lot to get your teeth stuck into this week, I would say. So as ever,
more
get
than
involved.
A glove.
Oh, get involved in the comment section below with your captions. We'll pick a winner this time next week. Before we tell you what's coming up on the channel this week, we're going to go through a few of our favourite comments from last week. Before we get onto a few of our favourite comments from last week, we are going to promote our special T-shirt.
Yeah, boy.
Dedicated to the spring classics in Belgium and northern France. You've probably noticed them throughout the show. If you like them and you would like to order one and help us continue to make free-to-view content, as ever, shop.globalcyclingnetwork.com, or there's a QR code on the screen. Where is it, Si?
There.
I'm getting you to do that because the editor did me over last week.
Yeah, totally made you look like an idiot, didn't it?
Yeah.
That serves you right, Dan. No, as Dan said, though, not only, I think, do the T-shirts look cool, designer Dan, not this one, did a mega job, but also, as this Dan said, helps support the channel as well, which we really appreciate.
Yeah.
Cool. Right then, comments. Under last week's show, we had loads of comments, and thank you as always. Two Wheels Good said, the decline is due exclusively to Visma's helmets. No self-respecting youngster wants to be seen looking like something from Spaceballs. yeah, I mean, it's... Well, no, actually, someone pointed out in under a show the other week where we were dissing those helmets. So most teenagers, all road helmets probably look like something out of Spaceballs, don't they?
Probably do. Yes, probably do.
Yeah.
Denise Wallach. I've butchered these, I'm sure. Sorry if I have. For me, as a 23-year-old, the biggest obstacle into getting into cycling, they were the number of cars on the roads and streets and bike prices.
Yeah. I mean, I see that. Those are two completely understandable reasons, aren't they? Yeah. Then...
Looks like the toppy, if you sort of go by personalised number plates in the UK, isn't it?
I see that. The toppy, they'd sell more bikes if they stopped ripping us off. I like there was an awful lot of sentiment in the comments about things being really, really expensive slash overpriced. The one thing I would say is, because I completely understand that things are ridiculously expensive now, but it occurred to me that whilst there are some people in the cycling industry who are becoming very wealthy, typically it's not actually the bike brands, is it? I think the big money is to be made in the manufacturing of it. But actually, I don't think there's many people in the bike brands making a killing.
No.
Really. I don't know, but that's my take on it, is that actually, like, you know, prices have gone up, but profits haven't. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, everything's expensive at the minute, isn't it? The world is
Moonplant
chaos.
Gave a slightly opposing opinion, pointing out that both Trek and Specialized have adult bikes under $500. They have bikes at pretty much every price point. No one is forcing someone to spend $14,000 on a ride.
Yeah. I mean, that's a fair point, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Underneath the new Turn cargo bike first look that Si gave you last week, Boopop... But thanks for more content on cargo bikes. They make towns and cities a genuinely more pleasant place to live by reducing the number of car journeys. The people are complaining about this, appearing to be an ad, clearly haven't read the first sentence of the video description or watched previous videos from GCN on the subject.
Yeah. Yeah, to be fair. And hey, if it's an advert for e-cargo bikes, like, they are amazing. That's my personal opinion. Mm. And as Bebop said, more of them means fewer cars. Which is only a good thing.
And I mentioned to you earlier, I was in Ghent at the weekend, and the lack of cars is unbelievable.
Yeah.
I thought maybe it was closed to traffic. It wasn't. It's just people are encouraged to go by bike everywhere, pretty much, or on foot. And it, whatever they've done, which Si was explaining to me earlier, has clearly worked based on what I saw the last few days.
Maybe we need to go to Ghent, Dan, and do some research.
I'd be up for going to Ghent.
Yeah, I thought it might be.
Oh, on bikes.
Yeah, I mean, we do. Well, I mean,
quite a few bars there as well.
We can research bikes, but that you can't do that all day, every day.
No, we need to debrief somewhere.
Some downtime.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Alex R. Fane put, looks like Si finally got himself some new jeans and fresh trainers, looking sharp.
I did! Yeah. Thank you, Alex, I did. I did get some new jeans and some new trainers.
On expenses. No, he pays for himself, full price and everything.
Do you know what, though? I'm in my eight-year-old jeans and similarly old trainers today. Because I cycled in my very nice, fresh-looking Lycra, and then when I got here, I put on my creased old clothes that are in my locker. So there we go. Anyway, good job, I got a nice new T-shirt instead. Underneath the Van Rysel RCRF video, Cyprian... Spiridon. Last time GCN did a video about Van Rysel bikes, I ended up buying an EDR Ultegra, and it is an amazing bike. Oh, there you go. That's cool.
Very good, isn't it? Meanwhile, there was a bit of a thing going on with some of the comments, because Daniel Hastings said, Ollie going for the Christoph Decayu look in this one. Subarctic Moose. Ollie and Christoph have become one. And finally, Nathaniel May. I'm doing terribly at this today, sorry.
Yeah.
Is it just me, or is Ollie starting to look more and more like Christoph from Alpecin de Koenig? And actually, there was another person as well who pointed out the resemblance.
I mean, he is starting to look a little bit like Christoph Decayu from Alpecin de Koenig. I tell you what, though, there's one fundamental difference between them.
Christoph, could he do some sort of test with pedals and shoes?
Exactly. That.
Is that what you were going to say?
Yeah, well, Christoph would never make that mistake that Ollie made. He also knows that it hurts is not hertz per second as well.
Well, that's why Ollie's with us and Christophe Decay was at Alps and
Decay. This is a good point. And it's also why someone put in the comment section, you should never trust an organic chemist. That must be some kind of science joke, but anyway, there we go. Right, and then lastly, underneath, are your handlebars too low? Here's why, where Connor was extolling the virtues of a life behind high bars. Bike Tribe said, at a certain age, you've got to raise the front if you want to be comfortable on a bike for more than a couple of hours. Comfort is smooth, smooth is fast. Yeah, very good point.
Peter Harper, it's not the height of my bars that are stopping me from getting aero. My belly.
Well, your belly makes you more aero, doesn't it?
It does, yes.
Apparently.
It does. All right, coming up on the channel this week then, tomorrow, well, we've got two videos coming out for you. One is the big preview for the Tour of Flanders men's and women's this coming Sunday, whilst the other, it's a super comp we've put together of GCN versus the pros over the years. On Thursday, Connor's doing his Everyday Heroes.
Yes, I'm super excited to see that one, actually. So we've recruited some people from around GCN Megabase who ride, but maybe aren't doing so much of it as, well, I was going to say us, but probably as much as Dan. How is the training going?
Well, like I said, I was in Belgium last weekend with some mates watching E3.
The capital of cycling.
I watched quite a lot of cycling.
Oh, did you? Yeah, oh, good stuff, mate. Oh, you're reaching peak fitness very soon then. Anyway, so Connor's going to take them on a cycling journey. Pray for them, basically. Dan's been on one of those with Connor as well. And then on Friday, I think we teased this the other week.
Last week, we thought we might get it out last week, but we didn't.
Yes. Carspiracy Part 2. So this is the sort of the follow-on from a video made before Christmas, I think. Anyway, can't wait for you guys to see that one. Should be super interesting, I think.
On Saturday, pro cycling is faster. This is why. Should be a good explanation. And on Sunday, 90 days of weight training. Was that Ollie?
No, can you not tell?
Oh, from your pistol squats?
It's me. Okay. I've been doing the weight training. Yes.
Well, so is Ollie. I wasn't sure who it was doing.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, no, it's me. I spoke to a very, very interesting bloke this morning, actually, about that. So, yeah. Not that. I don't know why I'm telling you all of this, because you only have to watch it on Sunday. But anyway, yes, yeah, super, super interesting topic. So, a lot to learn on that one.
Great stuff. It's a busy week on the old channel, isn't it?
It is.
Thank you very much for watching to the end. If you got here, well done for getting this far. We'll see you again next week.